Welcome to another episode of Crazy Curious Minds. This is your host, Tony Tior, out of Sapporo, Japan. And we're having a really awesome show today. It is going to be about close encounters of the fifth kind. I didn't even know there was a fifth kind. Maybe there'll be a sixth kind. A lot of people watch the movie of Close Encounters. Today, I have two really cool folks on the line. I have Hayes Robinson from the band Electromagnetic. He's back again. Crazy Hayes is back. And I got my other partner in crime who he's busy trying to save the world in San Diego. I don't know how that's going. Chad McKinney, my partner out of San Diego. Hi, guys. How's things going?
Good. How you doing, going man?
Good. Going good, Tony. Hey, cool. Is that East Coast accent, you haven't lost it now that you're in Japan. It's Robinson.
Oh, I keep saying Robinson, like my cough medicine, right?
It's quite all right. I've been called Robinson. A lot worse. As you know, Tony, I've been called a lot worse.
Well, yeah, you know, yeah, I do know, unfortunately, and I have too. So we're all in good company here. So I gave you guys some homework. I know Chad never does his homework because, you know, actually, if he really did his homework, he probably would have gotten abducted and he wouldn't be here today. So the homework was, and this is going to lead into the topic of the show. By the way, Dr. Stephen Greer put out that movie, Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind. And he does a thing called CE5, which is to be able to go out, you know, and meditate and talk to hopefully benevolent aliens. You know, if they're not benevolent, you're probably going to get, you know, lasered up and, you know, and cut up or whatever. Who knows what happens to you? Maybe the same things that happen to the cows that get all mutilated or whatever. But, you know, joking aside on this, I'm going to start with Chad in San Diego. Did you actually take any time to try to do the homework? Or was that surfing weather getting good again in San Diego? Did you try to do any meditation and try to talk to any aliens? I know it's going to sound crazy to a lot of folks, but this is this show. So just curious, did you try?
You know, there were some nice waves yesterday. I'm not going to lie to you.
Ah, shit. But
I watched the movie. I haven't tried yet on it. I am interested in jumping in on that, though, but I haven't. I mean, every time I meditate, I connect deeper, you know, into that collective consciousness, the cosmic consciousness. But I didn't specifically seek out any of them just yet.
Okay.
But I am looking forward to doing that.
It might be a good thing that you haven't. you tend to have like the luck of like having like rain clouds. Like I go to a trip with you and then like everywhere it's sunny, but over us it's like raining and you're like wanting to climb the mountain and it's like electricity is like shooting out of the mountain. You know, you've had a few mountain escapades. I think you actually were in San Diego when they sent a helicopter to pick you up once. Wasn't that true?
Yeah. I couldn't signal them. This was probably like 10 o'clock at night. I couldn't signal them though, because of the 300, 400 pound boulders teetering over my head. And if they would have got close with the helicopter, they would have caused a rock slide.
So this is why I don't want to hang out with you, man. You're the guy that like had like the Comic-Con almost destroyed by your homeless guy driving one of your trucks carrying recyclables, right? I mean, like, geez. So what happened? I'm just curious. I don't want to get too off track here, and I told you guys not to get off track, but that's exactly what I'm doing. What happened on that mountain cliff? I'm just curious. How the hell did you get up there? Maybe you told me this story, and I always think about that thing. How did you get up that mountain?
We got there. Me and a couple friends got there to Agua Caliente, and we got there as sun was setting, maybe an hour or so before that. And I'm like, hey, I'm gonna go climb that. And they're like, well, it's getting late. Why don't we climb it tomorrow? Well, let's just do this. I go, I'm gonna climb that.
Yeah, I know you. I'm gonna climb that now with my flip flops, probably.
Yeah, I had Birkenstocks. Like,
what did you?
And so I took off running, and I don't think I brought any water. I just took off running for it, and the problem was, once you get to a certain peak, then you got to go down a valley and up another hill to get back up to another peak, because there's another peak behind the peak behind the peak. So eventually late at night, but as the stars came out, it was a clear sky, so I could see. And I ended up getting to the top of the mountain. I was carrying a rock in one hand, and I think
What was the rock for? Were you going to like protect yourself against all the coyotes and mountain lions with a little rock? Is that what you were thinking?
That was exactly it. And well, that, and then I was also getting assaulted by like numerous jumping cactuses. And I mean, those things, you get close.
I put that in my last book, by the way, those jumping trolls. I was thinking of you, you know, this guy Andy got his ass all stuck up with these things. I was thinking of you when I wrote that section of the book. So, Chad, question for you.
Yeah.
When you were up at the top of this mountain, right, that was a perfect time to do the CE5. You could have called some aliens to save your dumb ass, you know. Were you, like, stoned and drunk while you were out there, or is this, like, were you sober?
Man, I was sober. This was man, this was so many years ago. Like, this was, God, I was probably, man, I'll bet you, this was probably 2008. I'll bet you.
And you didn't see, any, like, you were there all alone up in the top of the mountains in the middle of nowhere. I mean, like, if I'm an alien, I'm like, boy, this is one dumb sucker over here, boy. Let's go pick him up and, you know, do a little inspection to see what's wrong with this guy's brain. I mean, you didn't see anything then?
Not then, but I did actually see, I've seen a few UFOs before, but one that was most, prominent that I remember was up in Kings Canyon. I mean, actually the same buddy, a good friend of mine. We're up by a glacier lake. I forget how many thousands of feet, maybe 10,000 feet up or something like that.
Right.
At that time around that neighborhood. And this was late at night. And this, I mean, it was actually described pretty similarly in the CE5 documentary.
Really?
Yeah. Where I saw this giant light, a round orb, and it would shoot across the sky one direction, come to a complete stop, shoot across the sky another direction, complete stop. And I mean, I'm talking like this, the distance it's covering and the speed it's going is faster than anything I've ever seen in my life. Even that mountain lion. But this thing was
wait, what's like, this mountain lion thing? You saw a mountain lion once?
That's a different story. But anyway, so like this thing eventually, like, it does this for what seemed like a decent amount of time, back and forth, all, you know, different directions.
So did it like stop to like fly, and it's like stop and do like a right angle or just something crazy like that makes no sense for an airplane?
Exactly. Like, the angles were not from a plane at all. And this was, again, probably around that same time. Maybe.
Did your friend see it too? Did you have like,
we were watching the whole thing. And then it eventually, it turned into that big bright light and just poof, disappeared.
Wait a second. So it got bigger, like it like increased in size and then poof, like disappeared in some kind of like black hole or some kind of like wormhole or whatever.
Uh-huh. Exactly it.
Wow. Let me ask you a question. Did you check your watch to see how much time you guys might have lost?
I didn't have watches back then. Didn't believe in them. But
oh God. So what time was this roughly? I'm just curious. And where was it and what time was it?
It was Kings Canyon. Sun had already set. We'd already had our food. So, I mean, I can't remember the time of year. It might have been summertime we went up there.
Right.
So we were probably, I bet you, 9, 10 o'clock at night or so. Maybe probably between 9 and 11 at night.
Uh-huh. Kings Canyon is a hot spot from what I've heard.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So when you got back, did your butt hurt?
Not that I remember, thank God.
good. And did you like you had your clothes on and everything when you got back?
Yeah,
you weren't like walking around like Travis Walton, like, you know, a zombie naked trying to find a phone booth to call home. So you guys just saw something. It wasn't like, you don't think you were abducted, you don't think you had like memory loss or time loss or anything, but you wouldn't remember if you had memory loss, because that's the whole purpose of memory loss, is not to memorize what you were lost. So nothing strange, huh?
No. Well, I mean, aside from that.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, there was all kinds of stuff on that trip, but like that was the big thing in terms of the
UFO. Did you feel any telepathic like connection to this thing?
You know, I felt like it knew we were watching it to a certain extent.
Right.
But this was so long ago before I really got into meditation. So I got in meditation about 2009. I was spiritually conscious before that to an extent, but to the extent
but you're mostly stoned, so that probably and surfing, so that makes it hard to be.
It didn't help, Tony.
Well, you become enlightened over time, Chad. You're one of those people on planet Earth who become like more spiritual. Well, that's an interesting story, actually. But so you didn't do your homework. but you actually had some kind of like experience very similar. And it looked like it was on the screen with CE5, right? Very similar, huh?
Oh yeah. A couple of them for sure. For sure.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. So now I'm going to go to Hayes Robinson. I finally got his name right, even though I worked with him for years. Jesus Christ.
I'm in San Diego also, Tony.
I know. That's true. I forgot, you know, I mean, I should mention that you are in San Diego. It's a San Diego rock and roll band that you play with. So Hayes, did you try any of this by any chance, or you just watched the movie too? It's no big deal. I'm just curious if you tried any of this CE5 stuff.
So I've got this problem. I tend to fall asleep in movies all the time. And it's funny because my wife will look over at me if we're watching a real crappy movie and go, I can't believe you're not asleep yet. I'm like, I'm waiting for it to get good so I can get comfortable, you know? And she actually sat down and watched this with me my third time because
this movie? Which one?
Yeah,
CE5?
I fell asleep the last 20 minutes. And then there's, if you watch the movie, at the very end of the last scene, the music comes on and it's 10 times louder than the audio was prior to. So I wake up, sit straight up with the music at the end. Damn it. And I have to rewind it 20 minutes. she laughed at me the night that she watched it with me. And that night, we've had some overcast. I'm pretty close. I'm right up the hill from PB, Mission Beach,
right,
and the ocean in the bay. And it gets pretty overcast. So I was waiting for it to clear up to try the CE experiment, you know, the meditation and all that.
Right.
My wife actually tried it that night,
really,
night before last, in bed. And she works a lot. She just revealed to me, and I don't want to misquote her, but she said that she tried it in bed. She said it didn't matter if they were going to come, she would have seen the lights out the bedroom window.
Right.
Well, she said what she did have was a remarkable, crazy dream. She had a very in-depth dream that had to do with entities contacting her, and it had a lot to do with the Egyptian Ankh, you know, the cross with the loop on top.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of stuff said about the Ankh and what it's used for, whether or not it was a technological tool,
right,
that was used, because it's used in so many ceremonies and they carve it all the time. So I've got to buy her one now to some extent.
Because you got to go buy her a piece of jewelry. Well, it worked out good for
that's
her.
That's how much it affected her. She said that it was above and beyond a normal dream. And she tied it to the CE5 techniques of you know, meditation.
Wow.
And speaking out to them.
Well, you know, I give it 50% credibility, because when a wife at the end of, like, you say, hey, wife, you know, hey, honey, you know, let's try this experiment. And at the end of the experiment, she gets a piece of jewelry. I consider that a win. I consider that a win, you know?
She got to the CE5, obviously, before I did, in an awakened state.
Well, your wife's smarter than you anyhow, Hayes. No offense. I hope you don't take that offensively.
Everybody knows that. Yeah, she's everybody likes her better, more than me too. She, I don't know what it is about her. She's a radiant being, that's for sure.
So you go do the homework, but you have your wife do it. What a lazy, you are a rock and roll band guy.
No, she did it on her own. That's the team. That's the kind of team we are. She took it upon herself to experiment and check it out, you know, because she's into this stuff too. She's had some experience
and she liked it, right? And she liked the movie.
Yeah.
Isn't it a cool movie? I mean, we'll talk more about the movie, but I want to go over an experience, you know, that I had, and then we'll get into this. But that's cool. So she watched the movie. You guys watched it three times. Holy shit, three times, huh?
I watched it five times, Tony. I found stuff I remembered, and I rewind another 15 minutes. Go, damn, I missed that 5 minutes.
But so that was a cool movie, wasn't that a cool movie? By the way,
it was a cool movie. Yeah, it was, and it did bring me back to the experience that I shared with you on my first time you invited me on to Crazy Curious Minds. I did have telepathic conversations with the ship that I encountered. And for any listeners that didn't listen, I had a very close encounter down at the beach, South Mission Beach.
And by the way, that's the Hayes interview. So if folks listening are like, what the heck's he talking about? Go to the other podcast. It's called The Hayes Experience or something like that on there and listen to that. That's a really cool episode. It's one of the most popular episodes that we put out, by the way. But continue
on, Hayes. I'll tell you what, that was something beyond my imagination, something that I had wished for. And I would do my own, not knowing the term CE, but I would meditate since I was a child, you know.
Well, you know,
stars and thinking about spaceships and wanting to go for a ride and all that. But with that being said, I had a friend with me at this during this encounter, and he's the one that said, hey, what the heck is that? And when we turned around, we joked that it was UFO and said, hey, take us for a ride.
And it
we
came.
We got hit with a laser light in the face. And then I also had telepathic communication where when I went to start running and chasing it after the fact of our whole experience, my friend had a bad knee and they were like, well, don't you worry about Mike's knee. And yet, I literally truly believe. And they're the overwhelming feeling of curiosity coming.
Well, it's also like some people would say, oh, they're just saying the bad knee because they don't want you following the thing. But I actually believe that this cosmic consciousness, this ability to communicate, you know, I think there's like a universal, you know, empathy in the sense that, you know, like, you know, why would you want to hurt another being? So your friend who had the bad knee, I believe that it was true that these beings said they could sense that your friend was maybe having pain in his knee and maybe your friend was thinking about his bad knee, but you.
Yeah, and the experience was over. They're like, hey, we're bailing anyways. Don't put your friend into any more harm.
Right. It's not worth it. Right? It's not worth it. Plus, you're not going to catch it.
That's kind of what I got out of it too.
Well, that's cool.
It was a unique experience, that's for sure. One I'd like to encounter again. And I didn't have a watch back then either, or obviously a cell phone. And I don't believe we lost any time.
This stuff is so powerful. You know, Stephen Greer said in the movie, and I wrote part of this down, if people understood this power, right? The reason why, you know, it's like so hidden is that he said that the governments, they would not, you know, it would be this power, if people really understood this, would be able to completely change the direction of the planet. And that is...
By the power, you mean by the cosmic conscience?
Yeah, cosmic consciousness and the fact that there are the ability for average people. I said this on other shows.
Yeah.
You know, you haven't maybe listened to all the other shows, but I said on some of these other shows, and I think I said a show with you maybe, but it's not like, you know, aliens are going to come here and say, take me to your leader. You know, I mean, some may want to meet like a military leader or a political leader, but I think most could care less. You know, they don't just, that's a human construct that, you know, oh, you got to talk only to the leader. You know,
who's in charge over here?
the intelligent race that would come down here would already know that we're a divided planet.
Well, yeah, we're screwed up. I got a book, and I'm plugging my book since I don't do a lot of advertising on this show, but I have a new book coming out, maybe out in a couple of weeks, called Worlds of Wonder. And in there's 5 short stories. And one of the stories, I originally called it Eyes in the Sky, but I changed it to Thy Kingdom Come. My editor didn't like Eyes in the Sky. And it's not really religious, but it's about this guy named Mujav, right? You know, who comes to planet Earth, and he's not looking, he didn't say, take me to your leader. He says, take me to somebody, you know, who's worthy and intelligent and, you know, respected, you know, and they're like, they have a hard time trying to figure out who that is.
Joe Rogan, damn it.
yeah, it's Joe Rogan. You know, I mean, like,
he'll speak for the earth.
Right. You know, like we're going to take like a politician, like we want somebody who's ethical, honest and spiritual and, you know, somebody who's well, you know, like, shit, we don't have anybody on the planet like that, you know? So, but in the story, that's what I write about. And so, you know, Stephen Greer is saying that's the big secret because like people in power, you know, they don't like the idea of, you know, losing power. It's a power game and it's really sad. Now I'm going to tell
a secret. It's a high for them. The power trip is literally that. It's a high for them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody's had power. I mean, you have power as the lead singer of a rock and roll band. You're probably And probably sometimes you might even been high when you were singing, right, Hayes? I'm just kidding.
Who, me?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, rock and roll band leader. Okay. But the point is everybody's got power. I mean, you know, as a lead singer in a rock and roll band, I mean, that's got to be a little bit of a power trip, right?
Well, I'll tell you what, when you're in front of an audience, the House of Blues, and there's like, you know, 500 plus people to 1200, I think it holds in there, and you're the only one with a microphone. Hell yeah, it's power.
I bet you if you were,
even if I'm not singing, they got to listen to what I got to say.
And it's a good thing your wife's pretty strong, because, you know, I imagine there's a few girls in the stands that are like, oh, he's the band leader, you know. I mean, they're probably throwing stuff at you. I don't want to get into what they might be throwing at you, but in any case, it's probably pretty cool to be a band leader.
She has questioned why I would say things that I say.
Well, let's not get you in trouble. Let's not get you in trouble on this podcast, hey, because your wife's a very beautiful, nice lady.
She did the same thing when she first put me on social media, because I avoided it. She goes, why would you say that? Why would you respond like that? I'm like, well, you know who I am. Why would you put me on social media?
Yeah, well, that's okay. It didn't last long, probably, right, Ace? They probably banned you. Well, are you banned?
I'm currently on a 30-day ban for posting COVID shot facts.
What? Like that? Like you might die from a COVID shot?
No, like the second the one done thing, the second or third might be not be enough. And it's yearly. Just the facts, the reality. Yes, you still got to wear a mask. You know, yeah, you still.
You know, hey, you know, I'm there with you, brother. You know, look, if you've had the virus like I've had it, and you get vaccinated,
I believe I had it before it was a big thing. Yeah.
Well, like the point is, like if you had like. I don't know. Like, I don't want, like, I keep saying I don't want to get this show, but everybody I have on the show has been like banned from everything. Like, the last guy I had, you know, they claimed that he's Q. He had like 500,000 followers. They shut down all his accounts. I mean, like, you know.
Why do they have to shut down anybody's different opinion or their perspective? When in what day and age in the United States have we been like?
Well, we're gonna have a whole nother show on this, Hayes. I'm gonna bring in.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah, I'm gonna bring in Ron Watkins. I think I can suck him in, because you know he's got like tons of followers. Man, I had thousands of people listening to the show when I had him on. We're gonna talk about the cancel culture. So I want to get people who've been canceled. I'm not saying you should go out and try to get canceled, but you've been canceled on Facebook. You know, he's been canceled. Tony. You don't have to try hard. I know. So, and I don't want to get the show shut off.
Be me.
I don't want to get the
show. Right on, man. Right on.
So, we're going to do an episode on the cancel culture because I think this is related. But I want to move back.
Good episode.
I think it'd be cool. I want to move back to this power. You know, big secret thing. So it's basically like people in power. I think. Not everybody. I mean, everybody thinks there's some conspiracy and everything. I don't think that there is. I think things just happen naturally. People with like money and power don't want to lose their money and power, right? And one of the ways you control people is through, you know, I think Earth has like, I think I wrote this in another book. It has like 10,000 religions. People don't realize this, but there's like flavors of everything. I mean, there's a ton of religions out there. And I'm not saying religion's bad. I think some of it's actually very, very good. I personally prefer spirituality, and I don't think spirituality and religion are necessarily the antithesis of each other. I think in religion you can become spiritual and vice versa. But you can do kind of the spirituality in both avenues. But I think that, you know, we have a top-down society. You know, it's almost like in India, we have like one caste that runs everything and a couple castes, and then you have castes that can't move up. I mean, we don't have castes in America in most of the world. But in a sense, you do. Like even in China, it's communist. You have the party that runs the government, and you got the business people that. Well, now they're trying to destroy the business people because they're competing with the government now. That's why this guy owns Tencent, I think it is, or whatever. This whole Ant group or whatever it's called, and they own. You shopped on there before, Chad, for your stuff in China for Alibaba. Yeah. That guy, they're destroying him because now he's competing with power. Right. And so he's competing with the top Chinese government. He forgets that the government's the real power and they're trying to shut him down. So it's all this power stuff. Right. And so if the people could figure out, you know, holy shit, you know, there's aliens out there. It's just a natural natural consequence of the universe. Just like, you know, wow, this fish in Europe. Holy smokes. I only thought there were fish in America. Of course there's fish all over the place, right? You know, and there's four-legged animals. They may not be exactly the same, but, you know, you got lions all over the place. And also, why wouldn't it be hominids, you know, like, you know, ape-looking things and or whatever, you know, all over the galaxy? There would be. I think this is just a natural...
Absolutely. I have a feeling that it runs throughout the galaxy, and then maybe another galaxy, you get another set of you know, biological rules that fall into play, and they're dispersed and recycled over and over again.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. 100% on that. And I mean, that's, you know, what's to say what's life, what's consciousness too. So even, right. You know, because Absolutely. we look at life as like, oh, it's got to be like us. But, you know, then again, dolphins are some of the smartest animals on the planet, supposedly. Plants. Plants, exactly.
Plants photosynthesis. Are amazing. It's amazing how many people don't realize. I literally had people in my past go, plants can't die because it's not alive. I'm like, you ever hear of a dead plant, you know? It's alive and it's not anymore. It's like, no matter what you do. And it's a funny thing. I mean, do we rely on plants or do they rely on us? We got a symbiotic relationship, you know?
Right, right.
When we inhale our carbon dioxide, we inhale their excrement, you know?
Well, it's give and take, man, for sure. And I'll tell you what, like after that hike we talked about in the mountains with those jumping cactus, I can promise you they're alive. And some of them are pissed off too.
And some of them were looking for a new home in your butt when they got stuck in, right? You know, they're trying to migrate. They're trying to like, hey, can we use this dumb jackass to bring us to a better location? We'll just stick in his ass, you know? But
they know what they like, Tony.
Oh God. So I'm gonna tell you guys my CE5 experience, and it'll blow your minds away, but I'm not gonna tell it until later in this podcast. Jeez. So one of the things that plants, that show, I think that was that show. This is what's fascinating. Right. This is for the people listening. Okay. So they took a room and they did a study and they had a random generator. And, you know, most folks probably understand what it means. It's just random. It's like flipping a coin. And the random generator created the light that it could go into one of four corners of a room. And in one corner, there was a plant. So the proof that you guys watched the movie with this random generator, what happened? Somebody tell me what happened. One of you guys tell me what happened.
Yeah, so basically what happened was the light mathematically went over into the corner where the plant was more often than would be explainable through random consequence.
Or if the plant wasn't there.
Right, exactly.
Because usually, it ultimately fall on almost a 50-50, almost always. But then the plant being there, it's like the plant... changed the, you know,
so let's use science. I'm not into hocus pocus, yeah. Right? Let's use science. What do we think scientifically happened here?
I think there's a conscious connection personally.
Yeah.
From the plant. Yeah. I tell people all the time now, I don't know, if you know this, Tony, but I used to work in a gardening department for a big
store. Was that the marijuana plantation you used to work in?
No, that came afterwards. All the
Sorry.
But I actually went through a program through the state of California and was a certified California nursery pro. So wow. Not only did I work in a nursery, but I went through a California state regulation. And I mean, I learned Latin and everything and all these Latinese that I can't look at them without thinking. And I would always tell people, can't you hear that? They go, what? Even my wife. And she became a California nursery pro too, which is why she did the CE5. She's got to do everything and I do better. Anyways. Yeah.
I sense a little jealousy here. Go ahead.
So literally, I said, can't you hear that? It's the plants screaming. They're screaming for water. The plants need water and they're wilting and they're calling out to me. And I truly believe this being true. I've joked with people over the years, but I truly do believe this, and
you know,
I'm so into plants that neat plants will guide me to their seeds. So I take their seeds elsewhere. And
I always say I'm a scientist, so I never want to believe any of this stuff. And Chad used to enlighten me to this stuff. And my mom, you know, when I was growing up, she'd have all these plants. We lived on a farm. She was always growing plants. And I love plants. And she loved, you know, and she got me in. I mean, I didn't like them as much as she did. She used to talk to the plants, water the plants. They got to be nice to the plant. I'm like, they're just plants, Mom. Step on them if you don't like them. She's like, you're mean. Plants have feelings. I go, no, they don't have feelings. And she goes, don't do bad things to plants. The bad things could happen to you. I'm like, what, are they going to turn into like a poison plant? She goes, you never know. And, yep. You know, and I, you know, now I'm starting to like all this stuff that you think your parents, kids always think they know more than their parents, even when you, especially you're like a little kid studying science, like Mom doesn't know science. She's just into plants. And now I'm like, and she said, you know, the plant, you know, plants can talk to you, you know, same shit that you're saying. And now I'm starting to think like, holy shit, she's probably right. These damn plants did have a consciousness, you know?
You know, it seemed like what's going on is all of the science and all of the stuff is going back, and now it's just proving the ancient wisdom, the wisdom Absolutely. Of the Native Americans, you know, they go back to Egyptians or Kemet, you know, and all, you know, even well beyond that. And it's just, all we're doing is kind of just revalidating something that's already been, you know, you look at Chinese medicine and the meridians, and then you study vibrational medicine and you're like, oh, there's actually something to that. It's not just the capillaries running through the body. There's actually energy channels that can be registered and read. And so it's cool. Like, we're born with that internal knowledge, your mom with the plants and us with, you know, talking with beings off of the planet, you know, it's just, we got to tap into it because we've been conditioned to be blind from it up until now.
Well, you know, this gets back to, I think, a big thing of the alien experience, right? And it's close encounters of the fifth kind, which means basically the fourth kind is like, you know, they pick you up and abduct you, right? The fifth kind, close encounters of the fifth kind, means that basically you try to go out and contact, you know, friendly aliens. And it seems like, you know, people are scared. Now, by the way, one of the problems society has with this whole contact thing, and I don't know if it's like, it's just because we are scared of it or the governments create this fear. But like, I asked my son before I did my CE5, I said, hey, you want to talk to some, you know, you want to talk to some aliens, you know? And my son's like, again, like, you know, like, I was like, you know, and I'm like, it's for a show. It's a joke, Anthony. It's like a joke. And he's like, you know, it's kind of dark. He's like, it's kind of dark out. He goes, I'm scared. And I'm like, okay, so we can't do the CE5. Don't even try, Daddy. Don't try. Don't do it. And I'm like, damn, you know? So the thing is like, I couldn't do it. I'll get into what I did do, but, you know, so fear. This is a big problem, people. People are going to say, man, I ain't going to try to talk to an alien because they're going to shit their pants. What do you guys think about that, the fear factor?
I have some stuff to say, but Hayes, do you have anything to say beforehand?
No,
or
go ahead, Chad.
Oh, thank you, man. So I was really glad, like when I, like my eyes lit up when I saw that in the documentary that they actually addressed that and they're pointed out there, because you and I, Tony, we've had conversations for years, and yep. I communicated to you before. I'm like, you know, I really got the feeling what they're doing is they're trying to condition the consciousness of the people to be fearful of extraterrestrial life. Or like even hateful or spiteful of him, to create, could be very easy to, you know, problem, action, solution, you know, like, so it's right. Very easy then to control the masses with just this external threat or alleged external threat. And you could even have like where you, these guys, we could end up fighting these guys. They're like, we've come here to bring you peace and save the planet. We've watched you long enough. The tyranny is over. And then someone's like, get them, you know, like, Biden said to get them, you know, and then we're chasing with pitchforks and torches and they're coming here to bring us eternal peace and everlasting life or something like that. So I was really glad that they addressed it. They brought it to the open and then people can make their own decision from there at that point.
Yeah, I think that the powers that be use fear, obviously, for control. And to get what they want. And in my mind, if they had nefarious, you know, deeds to do to humanity, they wouldn't need to even land here. You know what I mean? They could just drop a virus down on us, a real virus, It really destroys us real quick.
You mean not like the one that came? You mean a real virus, not like the one that was made in Wuhan that it accidentally left the labs that, you know. Hey, by the way, the virus thing, I know this is off topic here, but there was a great article that came out the other day I was reading. And people are going to say, oh, now I'm not going to listen to this show because they're virusy conspiracy theorists, you know. But, you know, there still is no absolute evidence to prove that it was naturally created. And there is no absolute evidence to prove that it came out of the Wuhan lab. Everybody should, not you know, anymore. Look at, well, hold on. There's no absolute, there's no 100% absolute evidence from, you know, look, I didn't go there. I didn't talk to people. I can read stuff on the internet. I can look at the technology and I can make my own conclusions. It's like, you know, there's no absolute evidence that there's life, you know, 100 billion light years from here, but I believe in it because of the science, you know, that there should be, you know, in our galaxy. But I was reading something recently, man, and it's really interesting. It looks like, for sure, they don't talk about this, but it looks like, and this is now the show's going to get shut off, but the National Institutes of Health, you know, where Fauci, you know, runs all that stuff. And I'm not saying Fauci's a bad guy. People can have opinions about him. I think some of the things he says are dumb and some of the things I think he says are smart. But, you know, that whole group that they run was involved. They gave money. It's an actual fact. This is why I hope they don't shut the show down for telling facts here. But unless this article that I read is a whole bunch of bullshit, it looks like I read it from multiple sources that group gave money to Wuhan to do research on what they call gain of function, is basically to try to change the viruses in Wuhan. You know, and that was the bat coronavirus, you know, center of China, which was like only less than 20 kilometers from this center of where everything happened. So, I mean, like you put two and two together, you can say most likely it came from that lab. I mean, it is possible that out of all the possible places in China, it pops up at the only place that they're doing, like, you know, level four bat virus research.
Not the only, but yeah, they are one of the largest ones, and it was funded by
that NIA or whatever, NIH or whatever, the National Institutes of Health. And what I find that amazing. So that's why the truth's never going to come out. If the United States, you know, and China were both involved, they can kind of like, you know, blame each other on the side. But, you know, China can say, yeah, it leaked from a lab. But why did you give us millions of dollars to do the research? you know?
It's like that old joke from Iraq and when the whole Operation Freedom, you know, they're like, George Bush says Saddam Hussein has weapons of mass destruction. How does he know he has weapons of mass destruction? It's like, because he has the receipts.
Exactly. Right? But let's get back to what we were saying about the fear thing. I got off topic, and hopefully we don't get shut off for saying that.
Fear,
but keep going.
Depletes your immune response. It depletes your ability to think clearly and logically.
Right.
Fear is a tactic that's used by military forces. They can be overwhelmed by the numbers again from their opponents, and they could still win,
you know,
from fear.
Yep.
You know, it's also used in Hayes. It's used in science fiction books, and it's used to sell TV shows and movies, and it's also used for like what used to be news. Now it's just talk shows.
It sure is. So I don't know if either one of you have heard, because I've thought about this for a while. So with the reverse engineering and everything, our government supposedly has some of the technologies from crashed extraterrestrial vehicles, and using fear instead of logically, somebody that it's advanced by 1,000 years, okay, not 100,000, not a million, just 1,000 years ahead of humanity, what their technology could be like. And I think they mentioned technology that's unknown to people is the same as magic, right? Because it's just above and beyond what you can imagine.
Yep.
By using fear and saying the alien presence is here to do damage to us, is number one, it's one way to ensure and encourage the goal of a one world order, which I think even if we were to play ball with the universe and with other species, we kind of need a one world order. Because we can't speak for the planet when the planet's separated, okay?
Yeah, but I've never, you know, Hayes, I want to stop you just for 1 second here. One world order. You know, you've said this, I think, on another podcast. Brother, I'm still not there with you. I don't understand why we need one person to speak for the planet. Do you want one person? Well, Like, I don't want one person speaking for me. Nobody, I speak for me. I don't need somebody to speak for me.
Yeah, well, we have one person speaking for the United States on our
Do we behalf. Really? You think so?
Why do you think a lot of the other countries hate America? They don't hate Americans. They hate our American government for the things that they do. And half of them are so ignorant. They think that we go along with it and we know what our government does. But real quickly, back to the fear thing. And I'll go back to Ronald Reagan in 1987. He actually made a speech to say, hey, listen, we've got all our differences. But what if we had some outside source that was trying to hurt us? Wouldn't that bring us all together as one planet, as one voice for our own planet? And so with these nefarious, dealings going on in the background, possibly, and through fear, for them to say the aliens are here to kill us, let's all get together. We all have to work together with all the other countries in the UN, right? Become one. And how do they get people to do that? By using the technology they maybe already have from reverse, technology,
reverse engineering,
and use fake attacks, killing our own people around the world, and say, see how bad they are, and they get everybody on board.
Has the government ever done a fake attack though?
What?
I can't
cut it out, Chad. You're being facetious, right? Yeah, the Gulf of Tonkin.
Let's get real. WTC-7.
And with that point, I'll say at bare minimum, they've allowed things to happen, like Pearl Harbor and 9/11.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I'm there. I don't agree on the one world order thing, but let's not focus on that. But let's get on to what you just said about, you doing nefarious stuff for fear. Look, I've consulted the U.S. military, and the bottom line, once again, it's money, right? And if you can go to like the Pentagon, and say, hey, we know that little drones, are the hardest thing to defend against. We need to build a massive drone star, and they're like, what does it look like? And they pull out the blueprints and it looks like something from Star Wars. It's the Black Death Star. Yeah, this is the drone star. We're going to use this. It's one big drone that controls our drones that kills the other drones, And they're like, wow, that looks cool, And so, you've got people scared of drones, and it may be a legitimate scare, and it actually is, in my opinion. And then you build one weapon, then somebody builds another weapon, and it becomes a business. And they're like, uh-oh, drones are no longer, viable. We got lasers that take them down or whatever. What are we going to do for money, Joe? And they're like at Boeing, Lockheed, or Raytheon, or one of these companies. So like, we got to find the next thing that scares people. We got some research. Right. What are we going to scare them with next, And some marketing guy goes, I got some top secret report that said that they're aliens. Wow, aliens? Wow, just like the ones in Mars Attacks. I don't know what they look like, Ed, but they're aliens. Maybe we could scare them with the aliens. They're gonna attack us. We gotta have an anti-alien machine, And whatever it is, they cook something up. Now, don't get me wrong, I don't believe I believe that like 99.99% of alien species probably don't give a shit about Earth. And the ones that do, the ones that do are 99.9%, benevolent, not evil, and not going to do anything bad. And there's probably like 0.001% out there that want to turn us into steaks, and eat us for fun. But there's not a lot of those out there. But what we're going to focus on is anything that's bad. And like I said earlier in some of these shows, I think the United States, if they're dealing with any aliens, most of the ones they're dealing with are probably the bad ones, I guess. So fear, I don't know. It's there for big money. And I agree. But I think that getting back to the concept of CE5, I want to pull back to that on that show. He did talk about fear, Stephen Greer. And he said that that's what they wanted. And he talked about a little bit what you just said, didn't he? That there was a guy that said that they abducted people, that they would actually go out. They abducted, I think.
Yes. The government, right?
Yeah. The United States has like a group that abducts people.
Numerous stories.
They abduct people to make it look like they got abducted by aliens to scare them to whatever agenda it is. And I think they say that they think that the one of the United Nations guys was doing an investigation in that movie in CE5. I forgot what country it was, but he was like maybe the United Nations ambassador or whatever. And they were going to do something on investigating aliens. And then he gets abducted like in New York or something like that. And Greer says, there's a whole group that actually abducts people. They have people that look kind of strange, and convince them that they were aliens. And that abduction told that ambassador, listen, if you guys continue on trying to disclose aliens to the world, we're going to abduct every president of every country. And it scared the piss out of him. So they stopped. He stopped.
I wish you would. You won't do it. You know, like reverse psychology that, man.
The way I look at alien, like disclosure, I said this in the other thing. It's out there already. It's out there individually. If people want to go out, meditate, become spiritual, I think they can have I think the alien communication is very, very different. And this is why I'm going to get into my CE5 experience. It's very different than what people think. It's not like you sit and have a conversation. Maybe some people could telepathically, but I think disclosure is out there already, and people who want it, who aren't scared of it, can have it. And I think it's all part of the cosmic consciousness. And I think it also has to do with the string theory and the unified field theory that Einstein was working on, that we are all connected, you know, to everything. I believe that. What's your thoughts? You know, Hayes. So, out of the CE5, I want to get from you. What was the top things that like blew your mind out of CE5, Hayes? And I want to hear what Chad has to say.
It blew my mind.
Like, it probably didn't blow your mind. But you're probably like, no, oh, I knew all this already. You knew a lot of that already. But what was the coolest things that like people may not know that was in that movie? Can you review like what you thought was some of the cool things that people may not knew that was in that movie?
Probably the parts I fell asleep in, Tony.
Oh, forget it then. We're gonna go to Chad. Chad, you go next. You go next. You go. What in the movie blew your mind away?
You know, one of the things that I wouldn't say blew my mind, but I'd say inspired. And one of the things that inspired me was the network that they're setting up right now with the CE5. And they had spoke about 1%. It takes 1% of the population to make a difference. And then they showed like how with hydrogen, it's like 1% will change like some type of structure with it as well or something like that. And I thought it was very interesting on that, because if you think about, you know, a lot of the stuff that passed like so many years, everybody's like, it's the 1% rule in the world. It's 1% doing this and that, you know? And so it's like, if that 1% has a nefarious intention, or if that 1% has benevolent intent, that makes a huge difference in a shift. And they even broke it down to like, you know, we need like 750, or no, I actually wrote down the number. I'll tell you right now. 75 million people to wake up and start doing it.
Right.
And so like, that's not a lot of people, 75 million. I mean, 'cause there's a lot of people already who are waking up every day.
Right.
So I found that very inspiring, you know, because then we still got the new generation coming up, you know, old ideas, old fears, old insecurities, old judgments will fall, you know, to archaic,
right?
You know, real soon. And so it's our responsibility to not only answer for ourselves today, and then also help guide the younger generations to come. And then this shift could happen in a generation.
What is the shift? Like, what happens when 75 million people are able to make contact?
Well, you know, like, I mean, even based on that stuff with the meditation in cities and all that stuff, and it didn't take a lot to reduce crime rates and things of that nature.
That was crazy. Explain that to the listeners, man. You told that on one of the shows that I did, but you know, I thought you were full of shit. But, you know, now Stephen Greer is saying he finished his doctorate. You haven't finished your doctorate yet. So when you finish it,
August.
But go ahead. Explain it to the listeners.
Well, so the study they cited was a different one than I'd cited, which is actually more encouraging because there's multiple studies that are demonstrating this now. The study I'm familiar with is the one that was done in Washington, D.C., and I forget the year. I want to say it was in the 90s. And they had brought in a group of transcendental meditators for some type of a conference or seminar. And they had studied the effects on the crime rates, and they had also incorporated into the study government officials. They had factored in weather. They had factored in neighborhood watch, reduction in like young criminals who are known criminals around there, like, you know, where affiliated with, you know, street gangs or things of that nature. They factored all these things in, and all the violent crime and all this other stuff had been reduced. in correlation to the number of meditators that were present in that Washington, D.C. area. The only thing that didn't decrease was the petty crime or the robbery and things of that nature, the larceny, which I think is more reflective of the economic state of that area at that point in time. But Dr. Greer and all them had referenced a similar study to that as well in the movie. And so, like, it's very possible regarding that 75 million, once you start bringing that number in, and, you know, whether it's a city, it's a state, it's a country, or it's a planet, you know, if we're all on the same thing, we're all connected. It's just the illusion of time and space. We can raise the vibration of the planet to where a lot of this other stuff is just going to either fall to bay or fall away, or we may even shift dimensions as we raise our vibration up, which is more what I think it will be. And go back to that whole, that Bible verse, you know, like, even the people laying in the same bed will know the difference between heaven and hell, meaning it's what we tune into. So I really think, you know, as we gain strength, momentum, unity, we can actually shift our dimension, our consciousness, and then our availability to communicate intergalactically.
That is just beautiful, Chad. That I don't think I could have said that better. That I think is it. Nice. I think that is it. One of the things I'm learning, and boy, I wish I would have learned this when I was younger, because, you know, I always was like a hardcore scientist. So I didn't want to believe. And when I say hardcore, it means like, I hate to even use the word hardcore, because it becomes like you get stuck in a paradigm. You don't want to, you think that some of these things that like look like hocus pocus or this like spiritual world or this cosmic conscious, it's all psychological stuff. And a lot of scientists are like, well, if I can't put 1 + 1 = 2, then I don't want to think about it. And, you know, but I do believe it has to, I a couple of key points here. This cosmic consciousness, I believe this probably since I was like 25, but I maybe had thoughts of it when I was younger, but I never really thought of it as a cosmic consciousness. But later on, I mean, that seems to be the word that people use. And I've been thinking about it for a long time. I believe now, even though like, I mean, you know, I studied science and whatnot, I believe now that if you believe that you're going to achieve, right, or you believe in good versus doing something evil, or you just believe good's going to happen, that you have the concept of positive thinking now is even more important. So it looks like if you're in a neighborhood, it's all screwed up and people just believe that it's going to be screwed up, it stays screwed up. And it's also this like self-fulfilling prophecy. I think there's two things going on. People say, oh, the kid can't get an A, so we're not going to help him study. And he doesn't get the A. And you say, see, he didn't get the A. But there's two things. You can say, well, I believe, you know, he's going to get the A. So what you do is you do all the things to help the kid get the A. And so you're actually, you know, doing physical things. But I also think there's something beyond that physical. There's something mentally. There's energy that gets transferred from one mind to the other. And so believing to achieving, I think, is really critical. And I think that, you know, especially with the coronavirus and all this negative stuff. I mean, the last election and everything in America is just so god dang negative, you know, and even with this.
Purposely.
It's horrible. It's so negative, you know, people fighting over masks, you know. I mean, like,
it's also perpetuated by the mainstream media, whose headlines are constantly pushing that, you know, division.
Yes,
it's obvious that somebody driving force is wanting this negativity, and with what you're saying, Tony, I think that's where the power of prayer comes in for people that are super religious.
Yeah, I agree. Totally,
it's a positive thought.
Totally,
I think it falls in play with you know, people joke about it, but like some of the concepts of Star Wars and the Force.
Yes, you know, yes. But you know what? And prayer, it's starting to show, even though I'm not like a religious prayer, I'm starting to believe now that because of this cosmic consciousness and this one force and a good energy, that praying actually works. You know, I never thought I'd say that.
It's a positive, it's numerous minds focusing on a positive thing. And I think either positive or negative or equal in strength, yin and yang.
Really.
And you can easily uplift or go downhill, you know?
Yeah. I think that's a beautiful
perspective.
Beautiful concept. So before it gets too late, I'm going to go over my CE5 experience, which I might have told one of you guys before, but I didn't do it. I didn't do it for this episode. I cheated because I already did the homework earlier. Okay. So, and this is true, and it's going to sound really crazy. And I wasn't even sure I ever wanted to put this on a podcast. So maybe I'll just delete it before it comes in. But I'm going to tell you a true story. It's a true story. I've always believed in like telepathy and cosmic consciousness probably since a kid, but I never really used those words. Right. You know, I noticed that like, you know, everybody has like deja vu or like they're going to call somebody and they answer the phone or whatever, but I've had it quite a bit as a kid. And, but there was one episode which was really weird. Now it may have been because now get a little background. So my wife and I were flying, I don't know, across the United States from East Coast to West Coast, one way or the other. I think we might have been coming from New York to San Diego or something like that. And I've flown on a lot of flights. I've consulted to the military. I've been on helicopters that almost sank in the ocean, you know. So, I mean, I've been on some really crappy flights. And one of the jokes I think I've said before is I asked one time I was on a really bad flight. And it wasn't as bad as the one I'm going to talk about. But I was on a really bad flight and kids were crying. And somebody goes to the guy. Boy, he goes, yeah, he goes, I've been on worse. And she goes, really? Worse than this? And the guy, she goes, well, how bad was it? And he goes, I don't want to get into it. I don't want to scare people. She goes, no, tell me. She's being like, you know, really bitchy to the guy. You know, I think she had a couple drinks in her. And he goes, well, you want to hear, ma'am? I'll tell you. He goes, I was on an airplane. It was so bad that I had to get into a parachute and jump out. She goes, I don't think this flight is definitely not as bad as that one yet. And she shut up, you know, right? Nice. But so I was on a flight with that guy, you know, and not the one with the parachute, but I was on, thank God, the one that we didn't need the parachute. So I've been on some bad flights. Now, I was on another bad flight flying across with the wife. Things going up and down, the plane went down. And it was a jet, so it's kind of weird. I'm like, oh man, I hope they didn't like lose an engine or like the wing fell apart or something. And people were screaming on the plane, right? And then some kids crying, and my wife's like freaking out. I'll have to admit, I didn't wet my pants, but I wasn't happy to be on the flight. Do you know what I mean? I'm like thinking, like, this is like, you know, I've been on worse military flights, but like for a civilian aircraft to be doing what it was doing, it wasn't good. So I was like, man, maybe this thing could go down. So I was trying to get into my meditative state just to relax. My wife's like, what are you doing? Aren't you, you know, I said, I'm just going to meditate. I go, you know, and I'm like, I just want to relax. And so she's like, you know, she's like freaking out, trying to order drinks. Of course, everything's like shut off. Right. You know, she should have had one earlier. And so the plane's like shaking like crazy. So I'm just meditating. And I'm in this like cosmic consciousness state. And I see in my head, like this light, it's still like there in my head, like maybe people got a hole in my head, but I saw this like this force, this energy force, like not far from the plane. And I'm like, and I feel like I'm talking to it, but it's not like human discussion. It's just more like pictures are going back and forth. And I'm like, I'm nervous about the plane, right? So I sense this thing, like, go around, like circle the plane. I mean, it was just like crazy. Like it looked at the plane and then it flew to the right. Like I'm sitting on the right side of the plane next to my wife. My eyes are closed. And it was not a normal, like, well, normal for me, what the heck does that mean? But it was just like a really weird, clear, telepathic discussion, but very simple. It was like, the thing came back to me and gave me, since I'm like, you know, I think like, you know, in numbers and whatnot, the thing came back to me and said things like, no, like major structural damage, you know, wind is very, you know, abnormal or whatever. It was just like numbers and pictures that the plane was like fine. It was just that we were in like a really bad, like turbulent, like I could see pictures almost of the wind going around the plane. It was like really, really weird. And plane's still shaking. And I said, I think we're going to be fine. And my wife goes, and my eyes are still closed. And she's like, why do you say that? I said, I don't know, man. I just like had this like vision, you know? And I go, I don't know if it's real or not, but it's like on the right side of the plane now where she's sitting, right? So she looks out the window. She's like, holy shit. She goes, I see this like glowing orb, you know? Really? And I'm like, yeah, I know. She goes, look at this thing. And I said, I don't need to. I'm already seeing it. And I had my eyes closed, you know? And then it's like she said, you know, because I could see it in my head too. She said, it's shrinking and bang, it's gone. And it just like, it went away. It flew away. And she says, it's gone now. You should have looked at it. And I said, I've been looking at it. She goes, what? You know? And I go, well, the good news is the plane's flying. I think the plane's flying fine. The bad news is I think I'm nuts. Or you're nuts. Oh. Or we're both nuts. So that was the experience. And that's the truth.
Cool. She actually saw something and described it.
Well, the problem, not the problem, but I mean, like, she saw something that I said was there. Now, maybe it was both.
We invoked it to come, and you, wow.
So,
interesting.
The wife thinks, her mother says that, that this was just, since I didn't see it like physically, like I didn't look out the window with her to verify what she was seeing, but I had seen it in my head and I told her it was there. My wife, mom thinks it was more like a hypnotic suggestion that because I said something was there, you know, she saw it and she didn't want to believe it. But to this day, you know, my wife, it like blows her mind. She said she can still recall seeing it. And when she watches these UFO movies, like on the one with CE5 or whatever, when these, you see these silvery discs and they just like vibrating and because maybe some electromagnetic fields and they just disappear because they go to another dimension or because they fly away so fast. She says it's exactly like a few that she's seen. It looks exactly like that. So that was my CE5 experience, once in a lifetime event. Could have been just coincidence. Maybe she saw like reflection out the window at the same time. And
well, you know what's funny, Tony, on that?
What?
I was taking a flight from Chicago to San Diego.
Yeah.
And you'd even set out the right hand side. When I was on the plane heading west here, on the right hand side, I saw this was years ago, but and I forget how many, well, I know it was at least three, but it might've been like six, closer to six.
Yeah.
Glowing orbs.
Wow.
On the right-hand side of the plane heading from Chicago to San Diego. And it was as we were closer to San Diego, maybe 45 minutes, hour 15 away from San Diego, I'd say at that point.
Right.
Floating there for a while, just glowing. I mean, and the thing that was crazy was this was the middle of the day. And
well, this was a daytime too. This wasn't night. Yeah. We saw it during the day. This was during the day too. This was a daylight sighting.
Golden orbs, bright as bright could be.
Yeah.
Like little suns.
Yeah. That's what it was. That's what I saw. So probably maybe over like New Mexico, Arizona, that area, Utah, we were over that area. It's kind of a desert area. So maybe it was coincidence. Maybe like I thought I saw something because I was like meditating and maybe falling asleep like you, Hayes, you know, who knows, but I sensed it, you know, and then I said, I sensed it out the right side of the window. So it could have been just like perfect coincidence. Maybe I was just dreaming this thing up in my head. Cause I am a sci-fi writer. Who knows what the hell's in my head, you know? And I don't know.
That doesn't sound like a coincidence to me.
Right.
The fact that she viewed it. And then my question for both of you, besides your wife, Tony, and besides yourself, Chad, did anybody else on the plane seem to notice it and kind of that you were aware of, where you're just so focused in your own?
I don't know if other people, I have no idea if other people saw it. We were just so focused and it didn't last long, you know?
Well, with Chad, you said it lasted for a while. It was pretty prominent.
It lasted for a while. I didn't ask anybody, to be honest with you. I was just kind of keeping it to myself and just like soaking it in and just like feeling into it and seeing if I was getting any messages or anything like that. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't really say anything to anybody at the time, to be honest with you.
I don't think people are observant. I think people like, you know, like
sorry. I think, if I think it was people, me, I would have sat up and said, hey, everybody look out the window.
Yeah, that's.
Are you seeing what I'm seeing?
Yeah, that's. Yeah, and then here's what would happen, Hayes. The students would come by, sir. Please, you're causing a ruckus here. Sit down.
Sir, put your mask back on.
Put your mask back on and get it out of your mouth. You're eating the mask. You're not supposed to eat the mask. Now get it out of your mouth and sit down. And she's going to taser you probably and knock you out.
The mask's not a thong, sir.
And stop. And you're scaring everybody. You're over 6 feet tall. You're like 6 feet bumping into the stuff. You're like, my God, we've got this monster on our plane. And they call like security and they probably zap you with a taser. So that would be your experience, Hayes. And then they'd carry you out on a wheelchair, drugged up. Or should we send this guy to Guantanamo or not? You know? He's seeing UFOs on the airplane. Yeah.
We are a troublemaker.
Well, what do you do for a living? He's a rock and roller. Oh, of course, the rock and roller sees UFOs. You know, no, I mean, Hayes, I guess a lot of people in the play, it would be nice to get like other witnesses, but like then they're probably going to take you into a room and say, you didn't see anything, you know,
yeah,
or whatever. Who needs the damn hassle, right? Who wants to be hassled by? I mean, there was one that came over Chicago O'Hare. That was like a big sighting.
That was a big one. I remember that. That was like in the 90s or late 80s.
Yeah, and it like shot straight up in a big hole, you know. And I mean, once again, the disclosure has been done. It's out there. People want to practice CE5 and watch these movies and have their own personal experiences. I think that, you know, this disclosure, I think the important thing is that the thing that I'm getting from all this that I listen to is that the cosmic consciousness is there. You can enter it. Aliens are not typically, in my opinion, I don't want to say 100%, but typically are nothing to be really feared. I mean, I think people should still be cautious. I don't think that, like, you know, if I see like an alien outside with big teeth, then I'm going to go out and say, hey, how you doing, buddy? But
I don't know. I think other races may be keeping the nasty ones in check from time to time. Yeah. History talks about it all the time. I mean, the Bible talks about wars in heaven. You look at ancient India and the Mahabharata and the multiple writings of ancient India, the Vimanas and the when they describe the power in one bolt, you know, from a crossbow, you know, or they describe these different beings. In ancient India, they even have them, they're different colors, you know, like absurdly blue and reddish. And then they're obviously different colored from the people on the ground. And, the vitrification on stones. I mean, there's evidence that looks like we've had nuclear wars in certain parts of the world.
Right.
I don't know. In all the ancient writings, you hear about it. And then also, going back to your original, the eyes in the sky. I love that because you look at all the ancient Christian paintings and everything. They usually show the angel, most of the angels, as either children, the little cherubs, or young virginish looking. But they are always staring. You know, the eyes in the sky. They're always watching. You know, they're
watching
over us to make sure that everything's fine and we keep in check and we're not too big of assholes to each other.
They're
screwing up on that part. But I think at some point they just said, hey, you're on your own. Figure it out, you know?
Yeah, well, we are on our own, I think, mostly. You know, I think that humanity has to figure out, you know, it's like, I don't know, in the wild, right? You have animals, and you have animals fighting for territory and whatnot. I mean, we've ruined the planet, a lot of the planet, unfortunately. But animals, you know, we don't get involved and say, hey, you know, we like this deer over that deer. We're only going to do that if we want to turn them into meat, you know, into livestock. And we say, oh, we want the fat deer, you know, they're called pigs, you know. But I mean, normally what we do is we just leave nature to itself, you know.
Yeah, I think that's a good point you're making, Tony. And that's very well what some of these intelligent beings can be doing is like us on safari, you know, when you see the lion catch the baby, you know, wildebeest or whatever, and you know, you feel for it, you know, but that's nature, and we have to let it run its course,
right?
Because what's going to happen? You're going to save that baby wildebeest, and then a whole, you know, three cubs die. you know, from starvation. Yeah.
Well, we're cool. Yeah. And another analogy is we're cool with the animals as long as, like, we don't find, like, bears and mountain lions in our backyard.
As long as they're not trying to eat us.
Right, as long as they're not in our backyard, right? Like, I had a house up in Julian, California. You know, we have mountain lions, right?
And then
I hear shots in the backyard, and my neighbor blew up a mountain lion, you know? So I'm like, oh, he's trying to eat their pigs, you know? So it's kind of like humans. As long as we stay in our cage, right, we're probably okay. But as soon as we start, like, blowing up nuclear bombs that could affect maybe some of this interdimensional travel, or building spaceships, you know, we're going to send SpaceX with nuclear X bombs on them, then they're going to be like, okay, the kids are out of the playpen and they're causing trouble. You know, what are we going to do? You know?
Yeah.
And there were huge increases in sightings at and military silos and everything, where they've actually took over the controls and shut down the ability to launch nuclear warheads. Ever since our new age, atomic age that everybody accepts as the beginning.
Well,
it had a lot of UFO sightings and stuff when we started playing with nature, you know, and became dangerous.
Right. Well, Greer had a disclosure thing, I think, in Washington, D.C. at some, like, event. And they had people who worked in these nuclear silos that said UFOs went over and they shut down, you know, the nuclear missiles. So I think it's basically kind of like they basically said, okay, you know,
naughty kids.
We're just going to let you know that we can shut these things off. So some military guy said, you know, well, you know, the aliens are going to come, but, you know, I'm General George Jackson here. And we got the nukes. We'll launch the nukes. And then next week, you know, the UFOs come in and shut them off. They're like, Mr. President, I think we got a problem with the nukes, you know.
Some of them on, right? Like, they turned all of them off on the United States and then all of them on in Russia, if I'm not mistaken.
I heard some crazy thing. I don't know if they turned them off or on, but that would be kind of scary. Like, you know, first you turn them ready to launch them all in Russia, and then the United States is off, and then you do vice versa. And it just says, okay, so if we want to destroy the planet, they probably could. Let's get real. Anybody
Absolutely.
That can fly.
Absolutely. Even if they're 100 years, okay, before I said 1,000, which is being very generous, even if they're 100 years more advanced than us, look at how far we've come in the last 100 years with technology.
Right. Wow. Right. I mean, that's 10 years even.
And then with the knowledge of biology, you know, they wouldn't need to physically come here like someone, you know, invading from another country, invading a different country on the same planet. They wouldn't need to do that.
Well, here's the thing.
Why would they waste the resources and their time when they can easily take us out?
Here's the thing. Why take out your livestock? You know, here's the other thing that you might want to think about, right? It says, you know, our technology advanced, and why would they want to take us out? Maybe they already took us out. Maybe they took us out, you know, at the time that monkeys were swinging in trees. Maybe we were just monkeys, right? And they came here and they did all this, you know, they keep talking about the missing links. Maybe they came here. Modified humans, and we've been hybrids the whole time. Maybe we've been their lives the whole time.
Were their rejected, you know, stepchildren? You know, in the sense.
Yeah, right.
And you know, and then during the flood, they tried to eradicate us. They said, "We really screwed up. Let's just wipe the slate clean." And then there was other ones that going, "Well, no, I kind of like humans. Chicks are sexy, you know." And, you know, they helped us out a little bit and said, just give them another chance. Who knows? There's so many different variables.
Right. And the technology, by the way, I wouldn't be surprised if half of it was stolen from the alien ships, to be honest. They were stuff with Corso.
Yeah, given to us, shared with us.
Yeah.
And they trusted our government, idiots.
Well, the only ones that trusted our governments were idiot aliens. And I shouldn't say this because I don't want to get abducted by somebody pissed off at me. But I really think that the United States probably was only dealing with
the way I hear, you're going to get anal probed either way, Tony.
Oh, man. I don't want to end up like Chad in that mountain experience that he had, you know?
It was a toy to get this.
Oh, God. God, yeah, like Chad's gonna admit, yeah, my butt hurt when I got home. Of course, he's gonna say that on the podcast, right?
My butt felt fine after my experience.
My butt was fine, but a part of my soul had died.
And it was in PB. I was abducted, not in Hillcrest, damn it.
Okay. And for those who don't know, Hillcrest is probably a place, right? I mean, in San Diego.
It's famous worldwide. Worldwide is a very welcoming community.
Yes, yes, yes.
Right.
Rob Halford lives there. From Judas Priest, one of my favorite bands and vocalists throughout all time. Yeah,
no way, man. Yeah. They got some really good food in Hillcrest. Me and my wife used to go there. I got great breakfasts and danishes and food, and it's super clean, man.
Yeah,
I loved Hillcrest. So I miss San Diego, by the way. I really do. I love Sapporo, but I miss San Diego. So, well, I think we've done a lot on this show already, guys. I think we're going to get close to calling this a day. Is there any final things from the movie or this cosmic consciousness and this, CE5 experience, any topic that you guys wanted to bring up that we didn't bring up, anything from you, Hayes?
Well, I just want to bring up the point that for anybody out there that trusts the government, all right. So we had decades and decades of denial and ridicule. You're ridiculed if you claim that you saw a UFO or that you had some sort of experience or if you even believed in it. And now for the government to finally come out and start saying, well, okay, yeah, there is some truth to some of this. And, you know, we denied it before, but we're coming clean to a certain extent. They're full of shit no matter what. you really have to take into account history and some of the things that the government has done and said. To openly trust them is just foolish in my mind.
You know, and it sucks. That sucks, Hayes. That, you know, I'm there with you, brother. It means we need a new government, or we need to change our government or something. I mean, like, it sucks that we, you know, and, you know, people always say you get the government you deserve. I kind of believe it. I think people need to waken up. And maybe this whole CE5 thing will wake people up to get a better government. Because
check this out. So the official U.S. disclosure was in 2001 at the National Press Conference. And that's when Stephen Greer and others, military people, came out and they had witness testify, you know, and, you know, to whatever. And then the movie, the 2017 Unacknowledged, came out. And then the CIA and the FBI released, you know, certain things that said that, there's some things that are weird that we are admitting to that we don't know about. But did you guys hear that supposedly more is supposed to be disclosed from the government in June?
That's from Trump's last thing he signed was this infrastructure bill or whatever. And he said, in order to get the money, you have 180 days to come out with like disclosure. But, you know, they hated Trump, right? Because he's willing to do radical stuff like that, you know, to try to get, they're not going to put it out. I mean, they're going to, maybe they'll put something out, but
I haven't heard anything. That's what I was curious if either one
of you. No, it's coming out. It's going to come out, but unless they can block it, but I'm sure politicians are shitting their little panties and they're trying to figure out ways. They don't want people to know this stuff. I mean, I
know early on when the government first released documents that they had, 90% of that crap was blacked out. I mean, it was just a joke, you know. I don't know if you recall seeing any of the documents.
But hey, here's the point I want to say to listeners.
They were blacked out.
The point I want to say to listeners, you don't need to wait for the government to tell you about disclosure. No. It's out there already. There's tons of books, tons of information. You can meditate on it. You can do CE5. You know, I think anybody who wants to know what's really going on, figure it out. Do you need disclosure? Seriously? Do you really need it?
No. I've got disclosure by reading, by being a modern day archaeologist and historian.
You know, I got it through writing science fiction and also from doing the research that I've done. The last people I need disclosure from, I hate to say it, is from the US government. Not needed. Okay. I don't care. But what I do care about is the spirituality of this. Of the world. This is one thing that I'm big on these days. I think that unless we create a cleaner, safer, healthier planet, our kids are going to get screwed, you know, and they are getting screwed. And I think we need to build a better planet. I think that might be a message from these cosmic consciousness, but even if it's not, even if it's just something that's native from Earth, we need to build a better world. And our government is not doing a very good job. So I get where you're coming from, Hayes. Chad,
I fear, I fear the fate of my grandchildren for sure.
Yeah, me too.
Me too. I feel worried that I can't be there to help them in the unknown nonsense that they're bound to encounter.
Well, you're helping them now by taking care of them and passing on your knowledge to them. That's the best thing.
Hopefully, hopefully my kids will say, "Yeah, we used to think your grandpa was crazy."
Did you hear that? Everybody say we thought he was crazy, but now we know he is. Did you know there was this old podcast we found an antique relic called Crazy Curious Minds? Listen to this shit that old man said.
On that old antiquated computer system.
Some old, and look, they used a thing called a podcast. Who does that? They didn't have the mind melders. We got to convert this to the mind melder, so we don't have to listen to this goddamn thing, so we can upload it in 30 seconds.
Isn't a pod contained? How do you cast a pod that's contained?
Chad, what about you? Anything that you wanted to end with here from that you think's important for the listeners to get before we shut this one, we close this episode out?
You know, we hit on a few things, but I'd say the one thing you said about we got to make a better world and everything else, and I was kind of reminded of George Carlin on that, where we don't really have to save the planet, we just got to stop killing it. I feel like if we can just all of us answer for ourselves, do the best we can, stop looking for somebody else to take care of us, to protect us, to guide us, to inform us, do our own research, find our own truth, treat ourselves with love and understand that within ourselves, so we can spread that with others and offer that to others, and that starts with finding peace in our hearts. If we can start there, it'll spread out and the ripples will turn to tsunamis, and this world will be better in the blink of an eye.
Okay. Last question for both you guys. Out of this, you both watched this movie. Hayes seems like he slept on it three times and maybe watched it once and had five times on with his wife. But so this movie, Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind, but Stephen Greer, it's on Amazon Prime. I'm sure it's on other places too, but at least I saw it on Amazon Prime. Out of the last, say, 20 movies that you guys watched, out of the last 20 movies, and I know you watched The Phenomenon recently, Chad. So I'm going to ask you the first question. Out of The Phenomenon and CE5, did you like them equally, or what would you say? One better than the other?
Well, if I'm going to be 100% honest, I actually think Phenomenon was a little better done,
right,
in terms of for appeal for the skeptical mind.
Okay.
I think the evidence provided in Phenomenon and the way they presented it, I can't say indisputable, but it was indisputable for me.
Okay, I got that. Good.
And then the other stuff on the way they structured it with Dr. Greer's, I loved it. I've followed his stuff for a long time with the Zero Point Energy and everything else. And I like the spiritual message, the connection, the empowerment, take power into your own hand. Remember, you have power in your hands already. Start using it and address the other things of illusion of death and things of that nature. I liked it a lot, but if I was going to recommend somebody who was skeptical,
watch The Phenomenon first and then in that order. Okay. That makes sense. I kind of agree with you.
I'm sorry. Which phenomenon? Is there a different one besides the one with John Travolta from
No, this is a whole new movie, Hayes. You got to watch this.
This is good, man. Actually, yeah, this is up your alley, man.
Really? Yeah, it's called The Phenomenon. It's a UFO disclosure movie. Just came
really
out.
Really well done, too.
Well done. Last 6 months. Well done. Years of research.
Really well done.
Check that out for sure.
Listen to one
it
of our
podcasts. Might be Amazon Prime as well, actually, if I'm not mistaken, is it?
I think it is. I'll send you the link later, Hayes. But we did a podcast. Me and Chad did a podcast on it.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I just looked it up. Yeah, I'll have to watch that for sure.
Okay. So question for you, Hayes, on the movie. Out of the last, say, 10 or 20 alien-related movies, CE5, how would you rate that? In the top 10%, middle? What's your rating on the CE5, the Close Encounters Fifth Kind, Stephen Greer? How do you rate it?
I don't know. I guess I rate it around a 7.
Okay.
I mean, it had some stuff, only because it's got a lot of stuff that I've been into, and it's not really new to me.
Yeah.
And the whole, meditation and the cosmic consciousness thing, I think is similar with you. I've been doing it for most of my life. I just never called it that. I didn't have
right, a term. Right.
But I think this is actually, I haven't seen another one like this in a while. That's why I'm really curious to see the phenomenon and see.
You're gonna like it. You're gonna like it. I give Greer, like if I had to rate it out of a 10, and I'm being like really picky, I give it to an 8 to an 8.5. I give the phenomenon probably like a 9, you know. So they're both really good. And I recommend anybody who enjoyed this podcast, you know, or the podcast about the phenomenon, to if you watch the phenomenon, watch this. And if you watch this and you haven't watched the phenomenon, definitely watch the phenomenon. But I think this was
definitely more of a documentary than a movie, you know. You know, for sure. I mean, obviously, but
well, I think this is a cool show, guys. I want to thank you. We probably reached our time limit. So I'm going to say, let's see, hopefully this thing's still recording.
Well, before can I make one last point?
Yeah, go ahead.
When speaking with the Earth the last time, the Earth said, "I'll shake you filthy humans off of me like fleas off a dog." I don't think we can kill the Earth short of every nuclear warhead going off at the same time, and I still don't think we would kill the Earth.
100%.
The Earth will survive without.
Well, I think Carlin said people are worried about destroying the Earth. The Earth's going to be fine. It's the humans that'll be fucked. You know.
Yeah. Well, we're actually the only thing out of balance on the planet.
Well, yeah. Let's live in more harmony and more balance and more spirituality, and that's how I would like to end the show. So. Hayes.
Absolutely. Hayes. I love what Chad said. That was perfect, you know.
Thank you.
And we need that whether we're surviving on this planet or just in consciousness somewhere.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Chad, thank you. I'm in agreement with Hayes, and Hayes, you said some great stuff really. So thank you guys for joining the show. This is another episode of Crazy Curious Minds. Thank you, gentlemen. Have a good day.
You too.
Bye.